So, as I was saying before Fred interrupted me, I wanted to talk with you about... somebody asked me to share reflections and all that, but I'd rather not do that. And really share, I think, something which really gets to the heart of where human beings like us struggle these days, which is around communication. Or lack thereof. Thich Nhat Hanh did many things, but one of the things he did was he updated sort of traditional Buddhist ethics. And he did it in two ways. He did it by updating what are called the five mindfulness trainings, which are really the five precepts. We're going to be having a transmission soon. I know I'm meeting with a group of you later today and people online tomorrow. So he updated the five lay precepts, calling them mindfulness trainings. But he also created a new order, which he called the order of interbeing. He created this in the 60s, and he really meant it to be a new kind of movement within Buddhism, in which monks and nuns and laymen and lay people would all be equal. And there would really be a real emphasis on entering society and making Buddhism relevant to day-to-day life. I entered the order into being back in the 80s, early 80s, and we have a very robust community here of, I think, between 40 and 45 members who are in the order of interbeing. Now, as to the matter at hand, the order of interbeing has two aspects. One aspect is living these 14 mindfulness trainings. I'm reading from the book Interbeing, which has a description of everything, of all the commentary ties, Thich Nhat Hanh's commentary and all the trainings. So that's whole, sort of the personal piece, the doorpost that hold our individual practice together and how we enter the world. But secondly is this commitment to building community. As you notice, we're called the Florida Community of Mindfulness. We're not just teaching mindfulness, teaching meditation, giving classes and workshops, we're also creating a community. And so when we're listening to these ones, there are 14 of them. I want to refer to the ones that deal directly with communication, the eighth and the ninth. Here he puts the emphasis, he calls it community. Another name for community is family. So when you hear community, hear family. Small family, big family, extended family, work family. These are all communities. Our biggest, our big community. Here in Tampa Bay, Florida, the world. But I'll comment it as we go. So this is, and there have been many iterations of this since the 60s. They do get longer. So there are earlier ones that are shorter. But this is the latest iteration. So this is the eighth mindfulness training called True Community and Communication. So again, think about whatever your community is. Your family can be your community, okay? Your relationship with another person, that's a community. Community of two, community of three, four, community of 100, community of 1,000, okay? It's all. Aware that lack of communication always brings separation and suffering, we are committed to training ourselves in the practice of compassionate listening and loving speech. Well, I'll just read through it, then I'll comment. Aware that the lack of communication always brings separation and suffering, we are committed to training ourselves in the practice of compassionate listening and loving speech. Knowing that true community, family, relationship, is rooted in inclusiveness and in the concrete practice of the harmony of views, thinking, and speech, we will practice to share our understanding and experiences with members in our community, family, etc., in order to arrive at collective insight. We are determined to learn to listen deeply without judging or reacting, and refrain from uttering words that can create discord or cause the community, family, relationship to break. Whenever difficulties arise, we will remain in our Sangha, community, family, relationships, and practice looking deeply into ourselves and others to recognize all the causes and conditions, including our own habit energies, that have brought about the difficulties. We will take responsibility for all the ways we may have contributed to the conflict and keep communication open. We will not behave as a victim, but be active in finding ways to reconcile and resolve all conflicts, however small. Why don't you just breathe in and out with that one for a few minutes? What hit you? What struck you? Aware that the lack of communication always brings separation and suffering, we are committed to training ourselves in the practice of compassionate listening and loving speech. Knowing that true community is rooted in inclusiveness, concrete practice of harmonizing views, thinking, speech, we'll practice to share our understanding and experience with members of our community, family, etc., in order to arrive at collective insight. We are determined to learn to listen deeply without judging or reacting, and refrain from uttering words that can create discord or cause the community, family, etc. to break. Whenever difficulties arise, we will remain in our community, family, etc., and practice looking deeply into ourselves and others to recognize all the causes and conditions, including our own habit energies, that have brought about the difficulties. We will take responsibility for all the ways we may have contributed to the conflict and keep communication open. We will not behave as a victim, but be active in finding ways to reconcile and resolve all conflicts, however small. So we live in an interesting time. There is probably more communication going on ever since the internet, ever since social medias and emailing, texting. There's probably more communication going on than ever, right? People are endlessly communicating with each other. And yet, has it brought people, society, closer together? Is there greater understanding, greater harmony of views, both on the personal level, the familial level, the world level, countries? So we'd have to say it's not just the quantity of communication, it's the quality of the communication. Which is a very different way of looking at communication. So we're all individuals, right? We're all individuals. We have our own likes, we have our own dislikes, we have our views, we have our this, we have our that, we have our backgrounds, right? We're all little islands, aren't we? Right? And yet we don't live alone. We encounter other human beings, don't we? We see them, we hear them, we smell them, we taste it. We encounter. But if you think about it, the way human beings fundamentally relate to each other is through words. This is the vehicle, right? The seeing is taking in, the hearing is taking in, the smelling, the tasting, the feeling is all going on inside us. But the words, and the words are the way we connect to, we contact the world. So words are extremely important, because the world is really made up of words. That human beings are, you know, speaking to each other, communicating to each other through emails or letters or who knows. But anyway, it's all communication. And yet we don't receive any training in communication. What's right communication? What's right speech? Right in terms of it contributes to the goodness of the world, the goodness of society, the goodness of relationships, the health and well-being and wholesomeness of relationships. But when we think about it in that larger way, we understand we have to be very careful, you know, about the words we speak. But many people are not very careful, especially I think in these days of instant media, quick. Somebody says something, you send it right back. Don't think. You know, what's your reaction, right? People do these little picture things, right? Instantaneously, like, dislike, good, bad, thumbs up, thumbs down. It's like boom, 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 instantaneously. We let the world know what we think. But we don't think about what's the effects of that. See if I, anyhow. So aware that the lack of communication always brings separation and suffering. So when we talk about lack of communication, he's not just talking about blah, blah, blah. He's talking about lack of communication that promotes understanding. I speak often because I want those that I'm speaking to understand me. Isn't that why we speak? One of the reasons we speak? We're trying to let the world know, this is who I am, this is the way I see things, this is the way I feel, this is the way I think, this is my view on this, this is my like, this is my dislike. So we're trying to let the world know who we are through our words. The problem is, everybody else is doing the same thing. So that's why in our tradition, deep sharing and deep listening go together. Because it understands that there, as Thay said, there has to be this harmonization of views that comes because not only am I willing to speak my truth, but I am totally open to listening to the others express their truth. Now, do we often like to hear other people's truth? Everybody likes to hear everybody else's truth, especially when it's about you. Raise your hand. No, we don't like that. I mean, we like it when people listen to us, right? But when people, we don't like that. Do we? We're not open to that. We love to express our views. You know, so a lot of times when I'm with people who have strong views, you know, about anything, could even be about me, it's like, or about a situation, or about anything, you know, the first thing I say after they go off is, funny question, are you interested in seeing, hearing about how I see that? Before I even say it, I ask a question. Because a lot of people aren't interested. Because most people, when they express their views, whether it's political views or social views, about, you know, just what's going on in a relationship, right? Most people think that their view of reality is what? Right. Correct. The only truth there is. Can everybody relate to that? No. Yeah. And we know where that goes. So again, lack of communication does not mean lack of words. Is that clear? He's talking about a communication that is working toward people understanding each other. So he says we need to train ourselves in the practice of compassionate listening, loving speech. Again, these are all, there's lots to be said about. I could give a Dharma talk in each of these lines. So compassionate listening means it's not only listening to the words, but it's listening to the person behind the words. Right? So people may be angry, people may be sad, people may be scared, people may be jealous, people may be frustrated, people, you know, all kinds of things. But that means they're what? They're suffering. We call that all suffering. You know, it's being expressed this way, it's being expressed that way, but it's underneath it, they're suffering. So compassionate listening means I hear their suffering. I'm present to their suffering. I'm not just only present to the words. Train ourselves in loving speech. So loving speech is what? When you speak to somebody you love, you want to what? What? This is, I mean, you want to water their good seeds. You want to tell them good job. You want to go, you want to, right? You want to encourage them. You want to support them. You want to, you want your words to be constructive, helpful. So loving speech. Knowing that true community or family is rooted in inclusive, this inclusiveness means what? It's all included, right? You know, it's like, yeah, you know, I'd like to have a relationship with you, but only the good parts of you. You know, that those parts that I really don't like, I don't want them. Please keep them out. You see? Or, you know, Florida Community Mindfulness. I want a community of only good, healthy, wholesome people. Right? Isn't that right? Isn't that what we want? I don't want people's stuff. Keep that out of here. Let's all be happy and joyful and keep a smile on our face and, right? Focus on the positive, right? No bad actors allowed. Of course, everybody has their own definition of what a bad actor is. So that's another thing. So true community, true family, think about your extended family. Is everybody the same? Take a moment to think about your extended family. Right? Yeah, all kinds of people in that family tree. Do we include them in our circle of family? Or do we pick and choose? You're in, I don't want you in my family tree. Knowing that true community, true family is rooted in harmony of views, thinking, speech, inclusiveness. So, interesting, he says harmony of views. Not harmony of views doesn't mean everybody has the same view. That's important. That's like totalitarianism, you know, everybody's got the same view. No, the harmony of views means the inclusiveness opens and allows people to have different views, but the views are in harmony. Why? Because it's deep listening. Because we're willing to understand that everybody has their own causes and conditions that have brought them to that moment that they develop this view about life, about themselves, about whatever. I can disagree, but I can still be in harmony with them. Right? I'm in harmony with them because I understand their causes and conditions that have created them, and I understand that we share this community, this family, this workplace, this society, this world together. If you look around the world, are people practicing harmony of views? Right? Are the Israeli and the Palestinians working toward harmony of views? No. Communication? No. Ukraine, Russia? opposite. Right? And what's going on in the world goes on in the microcosm of people's relationships, people's families. It's no different. So we have to begin here. You know, if I can't do it here, if we can't do it in our families, if we can't do it in the Florida community mindfulness, this tiny little thing, then how can we expect the world, these countries, to do it? Knowing that true community is rooted in inclusiveness and the concrete practice of harmony of views, thinking, practice to share our understanding and experience with members in our community to arrive at collective insight. No echo chambers. No, I just want to talk to people who just think like me and act like me and agree with me. You don't get any credit for that. That's easy. How do you harmonize your views with people who don't think the way you do? See, that's a challenge. That's a challenge each of us have as individuals, our community has, but the world has. Because if it doesn't do it, what's going to happen? You see what's happening. Pulling apart, tribalism. Very dangerous times. So these teachings are very powerful. They show that human beings have another way, but it's a different way. Yeah, we share, you know, it's like, wow, you're really totally pissed at me. Tell me about it. Yeah, I'm interested in knowing why you see it the way you do. Yeah. Open, inclusive. Yeah. Are you interested in how I see you or how I see that situation? Huh? You're willing to listen to me. Wonderful. Chance here for what? Collective insight. I understand you, you understand me. Maybe we're both looking at the same problem. We just have different ways of understanding it or solving it. Okay, let's talk. Yeah. I mean, this goes on in families, between couples and partners, between parents and kids, between grown parents and their parents. I'm pointing up and down. This goes on. You know. Are we open to listening to other people and harmonizing our views and being inclusive? Not always thinking what? I'm right. My views are right. My views are correct. I have the truth. We determine to listen deeply without judging or reacting, refrain from uttering words that can create discords or cause the community to break the family. So this is going down that little, begins like a little dark hole. First part's very positive, right? Now the second paragraph saying, yeah, we have to be careful with the things we say to other people we're in relationship with. We don't want to go out of our ways to create discord or disharmony. It doesn't mean we can't express, but we need to do it in ways that don't go out of their way to create discord or cause the community family to break. When difficulties arrive, by the way, do difficulties arrive in relationships of all types? Anybody notice that? Difficulties arise? Yeah, so, you know, so this is, the trouble is we're ambushed. We're surprised when difficulties arise because we have this crazy notion that, you know, relationships, the world should be like Disneyland, where everything kind of works and goofy's goofy and everybody's happy. And, you know, that's not the way it is. Difficulties arise. You know, you put two human beings together, you know there are going to be problems. You put three together, four, five, six, you know, you put 8 billion together, you know, there's going to be problems. So the first thing we have to do is listen. Usually the first thing we do is what? talk, blah, blah, blah. It's very different. Listen. If everybody in the world listened to each other, or if half the people in the world were willing to listen to the other half, it'd be a very different world. Yeah. Before you act out violently, before you pick up that gun, before you're hurt. Yeah. Tell me about your suffering. What's going on with you? Right? So easy. And yet it's the last thing people do. These days, what do people do first? They pick up the gun. They act out. Refrain from uttering words, cause things to break. When difficulties arrive, we'll remain in our community, family, practice looking deeply into ourselves and others to recognize all the cause and condition, including our own habit energies that have brought about the difficulties. Unbelievable. Can you believe what he's saying here? That somehow I may have a part in what's unfolding? Can you see that? That's unbelievable, right? That he's asking us to first, before I go on my tirade about, you know, the world and other people and, you know, about what's wrong with them and all their faults, let me stop. You know, what is my contribution to this disharmony? I mean, it's a question. It doesn't mean that, you know, that there is, but a willingness to look, you know, at ourselves, at our own way we are, and interactions, and how we may just contribute to it. Even to say, yeah, I could understand. Somebody like me, yeah, could push your buttons. We're very different. I get it. Yeah, take responsibility, yeah. Yeah, we have very different backgrounds. I can understand. You know why we see things differently, or why you may have difficulty with me. Yeah, it's not all you. I get it. That's not easy for us. We'll take responsibility for all the ways that we may have contributed to the conflict and keep communication open. That goes back to what Betsy taught 2 weeks ago, right? With the, you know, the three-part beginning anew. Just keep it open. You know, I'm sure she taught in the beginning, you knew, like, you know, you're hot and heavy about something, you really want to, you know, just tell the person what you think of them and how they hurt you, why you're angry, and blah, blah, blah. Shh. Reflect. Take care of your own anger, your own hurt, inside you first. So when you speak to the other person, you can speak with them openly. If we're still driven by emotionality, if we're still driven by our sense, we're right, they're wrong. Anybody ever try to talk to somebody when you're hot and heavy and in that place of self-righteousness? How does it go? Not well, thank you, Brian. And we could say even worse things about how it goes. Yeah. Not well. Why? It's because, again, we don't wait. We don't take care of our own stuff first. And when we've reached some degree of resolution, some degree of understanding, some degree of calmness, and that we can go to the other person and speak to them about the issue that maybe hurt us or bothered us without that strong emotionality and sense of self-righteousness. I'm right, you're wrong. Which also implies what? If I'm right and you're wrong, I'm good, you're bad. I'm noble, you're ignoble. Anybody like anybody to tell them that? Huh? No? No. Feeds it. Feeds the conflict. We will not behave as a victim, but be active in finding ways to reconcile, resolve all conflicts, however small. Very powerful. Whatever the situation, don't be a victim. Don't be powerless. We can always do something. You know, even to remove ourselves from the situation is doing something. We're not a victim. Don't behave as a victim. Be active in finding ways to reconcile and resolve all conflicts, however small. Now that, you know, that may keep us busy. But it's very powerful. I'm going to read something in a few minutes from Thay that I... Yeah. Any questions so far? Anything not sitting right, or any questions about how to apply this? In the hall, online chatted in the hall, raise your hand. Anything? Doesn't sit well? Okay, we'll continue on. So the ninth is called truthful and loving speech. So this is now getting into the actual, see this, the first one, this was called true community and communication, but this then gets into the, you know, so what is right speech? Aware that words can create happiness or suffering, we are committed to learning to speak truthfully, lovingly, and constructively. We will use only words that inspire joy, confidence, and hope, as well as promote reconciliation and peace in ourselves and among other people. We will speak and listen in a way that can help ourselves and others to transform suffering and to see a way out of difficult situations. We are determined not to say untruthful things for the sake of personal interest or to impress people, nor to utter words that might cause division or hatred. We'll protect the happiness and harmony of our Sangha, our family, our relationships, our society, by refraining from speaking about the faults of other persons in their absence. That's called what? Gossip. No, no, no. Not good. We'll talk about that in a minute. It could also be called what? Slander. Big word. We determine not to say untruthful things for the sake of personal interest, to impress people, nor to utter words that might cause division or hatred. We will protect the happiness and harmony of our community by refraining from speaking about the faults of other persons in their absence, and always ask ourselves whether our perceptions are correct. So again, that's gossip. And again, he's saying, you know, is it true? Am I sure that my perceptions of that person's situation are absolutely true? That's a fundamental way in our tradition that we deal with thoughts. Stories. And we have lots of thoughts and stories about ourselves, the world, our past, other people, right? We're full of stories, perceptions about ourselves and the world. Well, that the simplest thing is to ask ourselves, is it true? Am I absolutely sure that this thought I have about this other person is absolutely true? When you're angry at them, they are what? They're the incarnation of evil. Anybody ever been angry, really angry at somebody? Especially with somebody who you used to love, maybe 10 minutes ago. Okay, but now they've done something, right? And now they are what? The incarnation of evil. You listen to your thoughts. They always were, they're always, right? Right? Stop. Is that true? They're so insensitive. Is that true? They're always insensitive, 24/7? And you'd have to say what? No. All they think about is themselves. And this is the way we think to ourselves. Is that true? They've never, ever thought about anybody else? I mean, they're the world's completest narcissist. Is that true? No. So just asking ourselves, is it true? Am I absolutely sure this is true? This thought I'm having about this person, this perception is true. Even about ourselves. I mean, people say the most terrible things about themselves. You know, is it true? I'm stupid. Really? You know, you flunked third grade? You didn't graduate from grade school? I mean, really? You know, I mean, it's okay. It could be true, but there's got to be evidence. Is it true? People say, you know, I'm unlovable. I'm unlovable. They don't say it like, I'm unlovable. I mean, no one in your life has ever loved you. Is that true? Well, no, that's not true. Well, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, see, a little opening there. Maybe, yeah. You have any friends? Anybody ever like you? You see? It's not true. And yet we carry around these beliefs. You know, we also have a lot of inner communication. We won't get into that. We talk to ourselves a lot. And a lot of times that conversation is not very loving or constructive. It's actually fairly destructive. We protect the happiness and harmony of our Sangha family, refraining from speaking about the faults of other persons in their absence, and always ask ourselves whether our perceptions are correct. We will speak only with the intention to understand and help transform the situation. But what if I don't know what to do? What if I don't know the positive response, or the helpful response, or the loving response, or the wise response, or, right? What should we do? Keep it closed. When I used to be a therapist thousands of years ago, I used to encourage some of my couples to practice duct tape therapy. It's like, just put some duct tape over your mouth. I mean, you know, I know you want to say something. If you really can't think you control yourself, put some duct tape over there. It's only going to make things worse. Right? Last resort. But, you know, but that's only if you can't. Sometimes, just don't say it. Not the right time. Not the right time to say it. Better time to say it. Everybody's calmed down. Maybe it's a good conversation when we're getting along together and we're feeling good about the relationship, or, you know, maybe that's the time to have this conversation. Not when we're really angry at each other. So knowing when to speak, when to remain silent, knowing the appropriate time, the inappropriate time, knowing the right way, skillful way. Yeah, there's something I want to say to this person, but I want to be skillful. I want to promote change and understanding. Got to be careful. Anybody ever notice people's egos easily get hurt? Including our own sometimes. Right? So, careful. We will not spread rumors, nor criticize or condemn things of which we are not sure. I mean, what goes on in our world, on social media, in the news, it's a spreading of what? What? Well, yeah, rumors, true, you know, who knows anymore, right? It's got to be very, very careful these days. There's so much of that. We will not spread rumors, nor criticize or condemn things of which we're not sure. If you listen to the political discourse, it's all about what? Criticizing people. I mean, it's like, no wonder it doesn't go anywhere. Anyhow, they're not interested in our views. We will do our best to speak about the situations of injustice, even so, in doing so, will make difficulties for us or threaten our safety. So Thich Nhat Hanh wrote this during the Vietnam War, when actually speaking could get one in trouble. But he said afterwards, you have to be careful. You know, sometimes people think, oh, when they read this, we will do our best to speak about situations of injustice, even when doing so may make difficulties for us or threaten our safety. Yeah, that's, you have to be very wise, knowing when to speak out, when not to speak out. You can always speak out to some, but maybe it's You know, to speak out just for the sake of speaking out, how does that help anybody? No. So even when we speak out, we have to speak out with some degree of wisdom and understanding. So one more thing, and then I'll take more questions at the end. So recently some people came to me because they were having a very interesting situation, which I think comes up, can come up in a community, can certainly come up at work, if anybody's ever hung out in a lunchroom. It can certainly happen in extended families. Okay, and so I found this interesting thing from Thich Nhat Hanh that he wrote many years ago that dealt with it. So, I sort of was saying this, but I got a kick out of it since we're honoring him. So this is something that he wrote bigger about communication. So this is about what do you do, right? What do you do? So Jaron comes to me, right? It's Jaron, and he wants to tell me something that Brian did, right? What do I do? Do I listen to him? Give him an open platform? Right? Do I agree with him and say, yeah, I've had my run-ins with Brian too. I can understand. Yeah, I can, you know what I mean? Do I feed it? When I run into Peggy, do I say, Peggy, God, you know, Jaron just came to me and he also just had a run-in with, you know what I mean? And Peggy then goes over there and tells Eleanor, gee, you know what I mean? Did you hear that Jaron had a run-in with that? And Fred agreed with him, and, you know, I sort of agree with him too, and now Eleanor's going, well, come to think of it, yeah. Okay. Does this sound familiar? You ever been at the workplace? Yeah, I mean, it's like, whew, toxic. People talk about each other, and families, extended families. Okay, so what do you do? So this is the key thing. So what if you're the person that this person comes to, what do you do? So just bear with me, okay? I'm just going to read Tile, maybe edit a little bit. So this is in this longer piece he wrote about communication. Suppose you have some kind of internal formation regarding a member of your family or community, and you don't feel joyful with that person. Right? Internal formation is kind of a Buddhist psychology word, meaning that inside your mind you have a kind of negative formation about that person. You can talk to them about certain things, but you're not comfortable with talking to them about anything deep. Then one day you're doing housework and you notice this person's not doing anything at all, is not sharing the work. You feel a little uneasy. Why am I doing so much? And there, did anybody ever get like this? Why am I doing all the work and they're just sitting around? They just take out the garbage and I have to do all the, you know. Well, okay. He or she should be working. Because of this comparison, you lose your happiness. But instead of saying to that person, please, can you come and help me? You say to yourself, she's an adult. I shouldn't have to say something to her. She should be more responsible, right? Everybody know that one? Yeah. Okay. And you can take a moment, think about your own situation with how many times you've done that with people, right? They should know better. I'm not going to talk to them. Yeah, they're adults. I don't need to tell them. You know, they should know better. They should naturally know, or they should know that I need help, right? Shouldn't they? Yeah, of course they should know. Okay. They should be more responsible. Okay. So you already have a little thing about this person. Now, the shortest way is always the direct way. You be, he calls it B and A. B can go directly in A and say, please help me. But you don't do that, do you? You say it to yourself, and inside you're beginning to blame the other person. The next time the thing happens, more intense. Your internal formation's growing. But now it's growing inside you, and you want to kind of let it out. But you don't go to the person, right? No, you don't. You go to who? Who do you go to? What? Go to C, yes. You're looking for sympathy. You want to share your suffering. You don't want to go to AA. He's not going to give you any sympathy, right? You're looking for sympathy. You're not looking for resolution. You're looking for sympathy. So you find C, right? So Jaron doesn't talk to Brian. Baron goes to Peggy. You're looking because you're looking for an ally. You're looking for somebody who will agree with you, right? You want somebody to agree. Yeah, he is a bad actor, come to say of it. I thought I was the only one who noticed. You know, I was like, oh, see? Everybody can relate to that in your own, okay. So now this is the hard thing. This is where I was dealing with some people going, this is the hard one. You're C. What do you do? Especially if you've been trained in compassionate listening, deep listening, being a good person, right? You know that kind of goodness we have in ourselves. Okay. What should you do? Now, if you already have some internal formations about Brian, about A, right, you're happy, right? See, if Peggy already had some thoughts to herself about Brian, she's delighted when Jaron comes to her, right? Confirmation, allies, make feel better. Now, all of a sudden, you and Jaron are feeling pretty close together. You know, I mean, just feeling good together. But you're a little more, you're both distant from A. Now, A is over there. He doesn't know what's going on, does he? You see? That person you're upset about or angry at, he doesn't know it at all. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know about a resentment. But he feels some distance, some cooling, getting the cold shoulder treatment. I'm getting a little distance there, not quite as friendly when I come around. You know, they don't know what's going on. So Brian gets to the point where he goes, I don't know what's going on with Jaron and Peggy. Who needs them anyhow, right? I'll just go my own way. I don't need them. So now Brian kind of steps back from them. So what's going on in the family and the community? What? Division, right? It's not big yet. It's not like open warfare, but the seeds are there. Can you see it? This is why Ty said our determination is to reconcile all differences, all conflicts, no matter how small. Because if not, this thing can grow, can it? Worse, communities, families can lead to schisms and all this kind of stuff. So Ty says, a triangle has been set up now. So this comes back. This is very important because many of us are C, and we're in a community, you're in a family, extended family, and a lot of people, they love to talk about other people. So B comes to you. Okay, Peggy? This is Peggy. Jaron comes to you, and you don't know what it's about, but he's obviously upset about something, so Peggy listens, right? Sharing his suffering. He feels Brian did or didn't do something, all right? Now, the first thing Peggy does is she says to Jaron, Jaron, have you spoken to Brian? This is very important. First thing, after you've listened, you get a sense, you know, been a good listener. Have you spoken to Brian? Jaron might say, oh, nobody can speak to Brian. Well, you know how Brian is. Okay, so you might say, well, you know, do you want me to give you some pointers or maybe some creative way that you could approach Brian or speak to him, you know, about what you're feeling? Okay. Jaron says, no. I know him. I know where he's going to respond. No. So then I would offer, this is Ty, so if I'm C, I would offer to go with you. Oh, would you like me to go with you to speak to Brian? Or maybe we could find somebody else. If you're in our community, you may find, well, there's somebody else. Or ask Fred, maybe Fred. You know, some people say, well, I'm scared. Some people are scared to speak to people. Did you know that? I'm scared to speak to people. All right. Let's get a gang. We'll all go together. All right. You know. So, but the important thing is whether Jaren can go himself and you can help him, you know, or if you're in a community, you know, well, have you tried approaching Brian and tell him you'd like to do beginning anew with him, which is really our way? And Jaren says, no, Brian, I'm not feeling comfortable doing with it. I don't feel safe. Would you like me to go with you? Right? Would you like maybe get somebody else in the community who both you and Brian respect to go with you? Or if Jaren says, no, I really don't, then you might say, well, then would you like me to go to Brian and let him know how you're suffering? Okay. Which is okay too. Because now it's has a possibility of being resolved. Then he says, most importantly, I would not transmit to anyone else what B has told me in confidence. Very important. You know, I'm not going to let this seep into the community. I'm not going to let this seep into the family. Okay. Stop. It stops it right here and turns it back where it can be resolved. You know, many times people will come to me about somebody and I'll say, first thing I'll say to them is, why are you telling me this? How come you're not speaking, poor Brian, you know, how come you're not speaking to Brian? Right, so if Jaren came to me and as soon as I got a sense that he wanted to talk to me about Brian, the first thing I'd say to him, why are you telling me this? I want to know. Are you telling this because you want to reconcile with Brian and you're not sure how to do it? You want my help? Oh, okay. Are you just telling me because you're looking to convince me that Brian's really... Yeah. First thing I say to people, have you talked to Brian? First thing, have you talked to Brian? And if they say, no, I haven't, well, can I give you some pointers or ideas how to approach him, or would you like me to go with him? Shut it down. Move it in the direction of resolution, of reconciliation, of harmony. Very important. Within a family, especially like within a spiritual community, it's got to be, you know, harmony among people. It's an art. It's a skill. You know. I mean, how many people have worked in toxic workplaces where there are people who are just toxic, always talking about, bad about the administration, bad about their fellow, you know? I mean, have you been in a lunchroom where like, it's like, you know, as soon as somebody walks out of the room, they start gossiping about that person. Have you ever been in that situation, right? You know? And you know, when you leave the lunchroom, they're gonna start it on you. Don't feel privileged. Toxic. Yeah. So this is not just, you know, okay. Most important, I would not transmit to anyone else what B tells me in confidence. If I'm not mindful, I may tell others what I know about B's feeling, and soon the family or the community will be a mess. I know lots of spiritual communities where this has happened. If I do these things, encourage B, to Brian, here, I mean Jaren, to speak directly to A, Brian, or speak with Brian on Jaren's behalf, and not tell anyone else what Jaren has told me, I'll be able to break the triangle. The problem is between who? Two. Or the problem is between me and another person. Triangulation is when you bring in a third party. That's where the mess begins. So if somebody tries to make you the third leg of a triangle, be sophisticated. Right? Why are you telling me this? You know? if you want me to help you understand the situation so you can understand yourself better, your own participation in it, okay, I'll listen to you. If it's to help you reconcile with this other person or understand them better, okay, I'll listen to you. But if it's just to gossip, just to kind of get me as an ally to get to, Now again, this is not this is not about something illegal, okay, or, you know, okay, I'm not, you know, if somebody talks to you about somebody's doing something illegal or, you know, overtly harmful, you know, that's, you know, we have to respond a different way, okay? I just want to clarify that. But this is just in the course of human relations, community relations, family relationships. Break the triangle. This may help solve the problem and bring peace and joy back into the family, the community, and society. If in the community you see, if in your family, if at work, you see that someone is having a difficulty with someone else, you have to help right away. The longer things drag on, the more difficult they are to solve. The best way is to practice mindful speech and deep listening. Speech can be constructive or destructive. Mindful speaking can bring real happiness. Unmindful speech cannot. So just close your eyes and reflect for a moment on what you've heard today. Everybody here has lives, has relationships of different kinds. Work relationships, family relationship. Well, everybody here who's a member is part of this community, has relations with people. We won't even go into our culture and society. What does this mean to you? What, you know, these teachings are like mirrors. They allow us to kind of to look at ourselves, look at our life, look at our relationships. You know, we might say, well, yeah, I'm really a B. I do go around talking a lot of bad stuff about other people. Or, you know, I've been C, and when I'm C, yeah, maybe I don't really handle it skillfully. I don't really see myself as somebody who's here in this life to reconcile, to resolve, to bring harmony. Remember, these are trainings of people who are committed to living a different kind of life. So think about your life, your relationships with your spouse, your partner, your children, your parents, friends, colleagues, extended family. What in these teachings today you've heard touches you, challenges us, opens our eyes a little bit. Probably say we all want a harmonious world where people all respect one another. But do I practice that? And I understand that a number of things that have been talked about today are very different, but that the way we've been raised, the world we live in, that's why we have these trainings, to show us there's another way. We all have mouths, we all have speech. Do I really see the words I speak as really focused on creating goodness in the world? And not supporting suffering, not supporting conflict, disharmony. To your own little self-assessment. And now, are there any questions about how to apply this? I mean, most importantly, you know, we're all living, we all have lives, we all have relationships. Any questions about how to apply this? Anything that's not clear? Those in the hall, just raise your hand. Those online, yes, Dee Dee.
We have a couple online.
Okay.
Adele said, "My son and daughter-in-law have opposing political views to me." Mm-hmm. "We've come to a consensus about not talking about mm-hmm. it at the dinner table, mm-hmm. but my 18-year-old grandson began to push my buttons, perhaps to begin a debate, and I shut him down with no politics at the table. Now I feel bad that I was unwilling to engage. Perhaps something good could have come out of the discussion."
Yeah, so, yeah, no politics at the table. You know, I mean, I get it. You know, politics, religion, those are often things that are off the table in families because they don't know how to, because they're not speaking with a desire to have somebody else understand me. Yeah. If there's somebody who has differing political views, I'm interested in understanding how they develop those views, right? Because I'm looking at the same world and I see it this way. And they're looking at the world and they see it that way. I'm interested. Okay? But I'm not interested in somebody spewing forth political, you know, views at me. You know, that's why I often say to people, "Are you interested also in hearing my views?" You know, "Yeah, I'd love to share views with you." That'll tell you right away where they are. But a lot of people just want to let you know what they think. You know, that's fine, but I'm not interested in that. So, again, it's a conversation with your 18-year-old grandson was, you know, it's not about only your political views, but I'm interested how you develop them, why you see the world the way you do. Because, see, that's where there's commonality, because we're all dealing with the same world, right? But we're coming up to very different conclusions. That's interesting to me. So when somebody, if somebody's angry at you because they think you did something, I'm interested in that. Yeah, tell me how you came to that. Yeah, God, I wasn't coming. Anybody ever had that happen to them? It's like, you're coming from what you think is a totally good place, and somebody gets a little bent out of shape. And that ever happened to anybody? Yeah. See, to me, that's interesting. It's like, wow. See, I thought I was coming from a really pure place, and this person goes, "Ooh. Tell me about it. I want to learn. That's interesting. Learn about these human beings." That's communication. Okay. But just spewing views, I mean, a lot of people, they want to do, you know, it's like, you know, just watch the news. You know, I mean, I don't need a newscaster in my house spewing forth views. Do you? No. So yeah, I mean, you can be nice. I have a cousin who's very, yeah. So whenever we get together, a couple of times a year, I say, okay, first 30 minutes, you can share all your political views. After that, let's talk about something else. You know, sort of like get it out of your system. Yes. Anything else? There was another question.
Yes. Carol asks, what does harmony of views really mean? Does simply sharing and understanding our divergent views, whoops, we more are popping on, hold on. She said someone might believe that Israel's actions in Gaza are wholly justified, and another believes that there must be an immediate ceasefire. Are these views simply harmonized simply by deep sharing or listening?
I think it's a beginning. Yeah, I think it has to begin there. But it begins, see, the trouble is we're always sharing views, we're not sharing suffering. You know, if I was getting the Israelis and the Palestinians together, I would have the Palestinians talk to the Israelis about their suffering. I would have the Israelis talk to the Palestinians about their suffering. That's human. That'll break through views. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm interested. So, yeah. It's not just, it's harmonizing of human beings. But it begins with a willingness to go, oh, okay. You know, if you meet somebody who's got an opposite view of you, let's say the Palestinian-Gazan, Palestinian-Israeli situation, that's what's happening, right? They have very opposite views. Is that true? Yeah. So, if I was talking to them, I would say, yeah, tell me about how you came to that view. Tell me why you hold that view. Yeah. I don't come in like gangbusters. Interested. Yeah. Because maybe once people become human, once people get and see, the other person's suffering too. Yeah. You know, they're human beings too. They bleed. They love their children. Right? You know. They're sad when people harm them. Yeah, I get it, just like me. Yeah. That's the beginning. But they don't talk that way, do they? They talk views. And you see the mess the world's in because people kill each other for views. Because they forget they're human, they're all human beings. I mean, it's, anyhow. Yeah. Anything else? Anything in the hall? We only have a couple more minutes. Okay, online, one more.
Okay, so Carol notices that in political views there's often underlying anger and wonders how to address that. And then Richard mentioned that he finds he has to watch his nonverbal communication as well as his words. And he said that sometimes a shrug or a raised eyebrow can speak volumes.
Yeah, so obviously we can communicate many ways, and yeah, so if you're rolling your eyes or you're yawning or you're looking a little, yeah, that's communication. So I go with that. And what was the first one? The one before that about?
Something? Just noticing that in political views there's anger. Underlying anger.
Yeah, lots of anger.
Whoops, how to address it.
Well, again, why are people angry? They're suffering. Tell me about your suffering. You're angry. You know, I'm not afraid. Yeah, you're really angry. You're so angry you'd like to act out and do this. Yeah, okay. Tell me about it. Have you ever talked to somebody who's angry and just talked to them? and listen to them? What happens after a while? What? Yeah, they calm down. You know, they get it out. I mean, a lot of, you know, what you see in the political universe is angry people finding, oh, I can express anger out here. This is great. And I can find allies of other people who are as pissed as me. This is heaven. But there's a problem with that. It destroys society. It destroys civility. It destroys connection. It causes the community, in this case, let's say the global or the American community, to break. It's the same. Right? Yeah. You know, are people willing to, you know, take a look at their anger? Take responsibility for their anger. We have a big problem with anger in this society. It's politics is just the symptom, but the disease is anger. The disease is, you know, people just lost in themselves, lost in their views, lost in their self-righteousness, lost in the world of self, in their own. So we're trying to do it differently in this community, you know, we're trying to do it differently, you know. So it's important that we not just talk the talk, that we walk the walk. And where do we walk the walk? Well, if you're, you know, if you're a big shot in the world and you have political influence, you could walk the walk there. You know, you could walk the walk at your workplace, you could walk your walk in whatever community organization. But definitely we should walk the walk here within our community, within our families, relationships. Thank you, everyone.